What is up, crew? Welcome to Next Generation this Wednesday. Hopefully everybody is doing well. We're halfway through the week, so not too terribly far to go. We'll have a weekend upon us. We've got an interesting one, hopefully tonight. Going to take a break from the Youth Competitive Shooter Spotlight Series for a little bit here. Mix it up just a little bit. But, of course, the topic, as always, is about youth and the shooting sports. So going to be talking with Dustin Ellerman here shortly about Camp His Way and the marksmanship camps and all the good that he's got going down there. But first, I let everybody know we are live here as usual on the YouTubes. We're also simulcast over on gunchannels.com. So let me drop the link over on the YouTube side to that site, because Gun Channels is a pretty cool place to hang out and be a part of the community over there. As far as if you're out there, if you're listening in replay and you want another option for replay, we're diversified across all other platforms, unfortunately, other than YouTube and GunStreamer. We are only live now on those two, but when this goes into replay, you'll be able to catch that on just about any platform that hosts video or podcast, including iHeartRadio and GunStreamer and all that good stuff. The easy way to get there, I'll throw the link for CloverTac.com out there as well. So just jump over there and check that out. So hopefully we are starting to get the notifications out and everybody in. I'll take a quick minute here and sort of explain for those that may not be familiar as we're going along. If you've got questions, you can certainly put those in the chat on either side. As far as the Gun Channel side, it's going to be better if you use the chat that is down in the bottom right-hand corner of the channel page. Over here on the YouTube side, you can tag myself, Mike, or Ghost on the panel by typing a little at symbol and then our screen name out there in the chat. That'll kind of give a little highlight to that. We'll be able to pick up on that just a little bit better. The way the flow is going to go, I figure that we may have some questions, some Top Shot related questions. And I don't think Dustin's going to have a problem maybe fielding a few of those later on. But first, we really want to focus on these camps and what's going on with the kiddos out there. Hold those, if you will, until at least the back half of the hour. And then we'll try to maybe sneak a few of those in there before we get out of here. I've got Mike and Ghost helping me out. They're going to help kind of produce and moderate and control the flow of the show a little bit. So let's bring them in and say, hey, Mike, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, not too much. Thanks for the invite. And I'm sore.
You're sore. Oh, you still got all the training stuff you're doing, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I got about 3 more weeks of that, but I am ready for some interesting conversation.
There you go. Always a good thing. And Ghost in here with us. What's happening, brother?
What's going on? Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this one.
Bet. So without much further ado, let's jump head first off into this. Welcome in from Camp His Way, the marksmanship camps, Top Shot, Dustin Ellerman, however you want to put it. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm okay. You get called everything but late for dinner, it sounds like there. But
oh, I can be late. Yeah. I was almost late for this one because right? We were trying to fetch dinner.
You made it, though. You made it. So that's all that's all that counts. So, you know, I'm out here and I'm thinking, I guess we've known each other for a while now. You know, I've never asked as far as the history of Camp His Way, how all that came about, how it got started. Do you mind telling us a little bit of how all of that, everybody's familiar, of course, with post Top Shot and the marksmanship camps a little bit and stuff like that. But you mind telling us a little bit about the history of Camp His Way?
No, I'd be glad to.
Started, what all you do?
Yeah, see, my parents actually founded the place about, 20-something years ago. This last summer is our 23rd summer. And so I moved out here as a teenager, a young teenager, and just pretty much ended up staying on. My mom was doing some missions trips over in India when I turned 18 and kind of took over at that point. My mom was a children's pastor for years and just couldn't find a good and affordable camp to bring kids to locally. She was down in Orange, Texas at that time. And so that's where the start of Camp His Way started. So right now we just finished our 23rd summer and we had, 1,981 kids come through. Wow. And so we stay pretty booked and we did 11 week sessions, 8 weekend sessions. We have about 120 campers at a time, but the summer camp's different than the marksmanship camps. So we do some marksmanship stuff in the summer. We do some tomahawk throwing and archery and blowguns and pellet rifles. It's like traditional summer camp because we're also on the lake, canoes and fishing and challenge course and water slides. And I'm just trying to look out the window here, like gaga ball and arts and crafts and hiking and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And then in the off season, we have a lot of retreats and whatnot, and churches will bring their own small groups for a weekend, but that's when we do the marksmanship camps as well. And that's kind of like my little baby since Top Shot, and it's been fun.
Right. So that was kind of like another dynamic that you added to the camp there.
Yep.
Now before the Top Shot, you said the axes and the archery and the other stuff, was there, you know, shooting sports related things like that going on before that?
I mean, just on a really small scale for camp. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, Red Ryder BB guns and junky cheap fiberglass, you know, like the kiddie bows. That was about it. And yeah. So then afterwards we gotta you know, beef this up a little bit and jumped on the quality and all that.
Right. Now the amount of kiddos that come through there and that stay, I know I want to say recently, and it may not be recently because time gets away from me so much, but y'all had to redo a dorm facility lately here or recently, didn't you?
Yeah, we had just enough of the double wide trailer that we were using for a dorm. And so it was kind of just a safety upgrade. But man, it turned out nice. We the existing dorm's in the same footprint as the old one, and just a lot more spacious and super nice. And so that's more for the summer camps part. But you know, that's where we house the marksman camps and retreats and everything else too. So it's a nice update.
Right. Awesome. And how many can you house at one time down there?
For the summer camps, we target about 125. Yeah, and the marksman camp, so we keep them real small because we're so involved. We limit it to 12 participants at a time because everybody's doing so much and it's so hands-on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, as far as acreage and the size of the camp, has that always been the same? How big is that, and has it always been the same, or has it grown over the years as well?
We started on a real small tract here, just under 3 acres, but everything across the street's national forest. And you know, you got that doesn't include the lake frontage that the Army Corps handles. And so, but since then we bought another 10 acres, I don't know how many years ago. And so we were able to spread out a little more. So while 13 acres might not sound like a lot to some people, you know, we get to use more, and then we're kind of just out here on the outskirts. So it works for us.
Right. Now, as far as the camp side with the, you know, is it denomination specific? Is there people out there that might be thinking about that, or, you know, is most all denominations welcome? How does that work?
Yeah, we're just Christian and Jesus, you know. We have all sorts of denominations come at the same time during the summer. We have a lot of UPC retreats that come out here. You know, there'll be just a mix of Methodist and just non-denominational or Baptist all in the same week at camp. We just like, you know, this Jesus is the Bible. This is the basics. Let's just go with it.
Okay. Okay, so no drunken brawls then over religious persuasion, hopefully.
No, you bring it up, and I don't even – it's kind of like, wow, you know what? We really don't have any issues, so it's cool.
Some people can tend to get a little flustered occasionally, but most are pretty laid back. Most know that at the end of the day, everybody's kind of on the same team. It's kind of like we are on the Second Amendment, right? At the end of the day, you know, we're kind of all on the same team there. So, shifting gears into post Top Shot. Now, I mean, there's no doubt, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole Top Shot thing was an absolute blessing. For what you've been able to do with the camp. Would you disagree with that?
No, you're right. And the funny thing was, okay, I just went to Top Shot to, it was kind of like my personal vacation. We can shoot guns and, you know, have fun challenges. It's this was Disney World with guns for me.
You say that and it now dawns on me that what life does a dude have that lives his life day to day, basically on a camp, a vacation camp? So it's like, how do you get a vacation? So yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Well, so while I was on it, you know, I'm just doing my own thing, you know, and wanting to have fun. But then at the same time, I was just like, you know, God be glorified in this somehow, you know, you just do your thing because he can use it for bigger things. And the producers, I'm just taking stuff one day at a time, knowing that any next challenge they could bring out rock throwing and I get sent home because, you know, I didn't do that good as I can with a trigger. And so I'm just taking it like that. But the producers saw my skill, I guess, from the outside. Kind of like just, you know, they're seeing the big picture. And they're like, this is going to change your life, Dustin. This is going to change your life. I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to go back to camp and do my thing. Right. And just, you know, just keep rolling. But they were right. And yeah, those opportunities came. And, you know, marksman camp was a big part of the just new beginnings of something else we could do. I'm a shooting editor for Texas Fishing Game Magazine, do a bit of blog, got a YouTube channel that took off unexpectedly recently.
Right. Ties with the industry, things like that have certainly helped.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah. Yeah. Being in the industry is just fun for me. And so it did help.
Yeah. Yeah. Now with, How long were you away from camp to do the filming? How long did that take you away from the camp?
It takes 6 weeks to film. And so I told my wife I'd probably see her in one. Figured I'd get eliminated early.
Right.
A lot
of people did. So yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I had even heard about Top Shot before it aired on a gun show podcast. And I was like, man, that sounds fun. And we were building the chapel at the time, so I was tied down schedule-wise. Okay. And so, you know, I just, you know, watched season one and two. It was like, whatever. And a buddy of mine pretty much dared me to get on season three to send in my stuff. And the rest is history, but you got to block out 6 weeks of your life for that mess.
Right. Now, being gone for 6 weeks, was that 6 weeks straight or was there any breaks?
Straight in complete isolation.
Wow. Okay. That's tough. So that begs the question with the camp. I mean, the camp kind of had to go on, right?
So, yeah. So I only knew I was going to be on Top Shot like 2 weeks before I had to leave. And so it wasn't really, hey, I got to go train for this. It was like, no, I got to get my ducks in a row. So, you know, camp can go on. And my wife is here and my mom's still around on the property. So they were fine taking over and gave me my little vacation.
Right. Now, do you have, you know, is it mainly the family that takes care of everything there and then volunteer basis, or does the camp employ people? How does that work as far as the facilitation of employees?
Yeah, we're weird out here because we're like all volunteers. So, we don't have a payroll. I get to live in a camp house and drive camp vehicles and wear camp clothes and eat camp food. And that takes care of it. Right. And so that's just how we roll. And our summer staff is amazing, though, mostly teenagers ages 15 to 18, really. That's like 98% of our camp staff. And I say staff, but they're all volunteers and they just love God, love the kids, love the ministry. And then they'll stay out here from 4 weeks to the full 11 during the summer. And you know, we got some traveling 7 hours just this weekend to help just to help with the marksman camp. So,
right. Well, cool. I know recently Mason Haynes, I know he had
come down
the way. Yeah.
He came as a counselor.
Right. Yeah. And he was pretty excited about it. Was supposed to stop by and visit me. Shame on him. And he got hung up and wasn't able to do that. But Yeah, I know
we kept him busy.
He was really excited about coming down there. With the marksmanship camps that have ensued since Top Shot. I guess my first question is, knowing of Camp His Way and, you know, Christian based and all that, is there an aspect of that built into the marksmanship camp as well?
There sure is. What I try to do is, you know, I don't try to do like long, big, drawn out sermons or nothing like that. But what I do like to do is just apply spiritual fundamentals to most of the aspects of what we do. And a funny thing is, just one came to me today. We have a rock throwing station. So, we took that from Top Shot, more of a thing of, you know what, y'all can see how hard it was. And it's surprising, because, you know, it is hard on the kids. They'll fumble around a lot on those rocks when they, you know, they think, oh man, I can hit a rock from 10 feet. Anyway, the point is, I was going to put a beam up there so they can't cross the foul line, because, you know, you put a line there, they just keep creeping over it. So I'm going to put a beam that they got to keep stay behind. It makes it more obvious. But I was like, you know what? No, we're going to turn this into a lesson instead. And so it was like, we're going to put that line just like, you know, God tells us what we can do. You know, it's like, this is good and this is bad. You know, just don't cross that line. But what do? We try to see how close we can get to it. And then we kind of scoot over it. And we're just going to see, you know, is someone going to stop us? Is God going to say no? You know, am I going to get caught by just kind of creeping over that line to do what I... And so we'll just turn it into a lesson. And so just short and sweet things that you can apply to life.
Right. And I think that's kids in general. Kids like to figure out that line, fill out that line, creep over the line, sneak over the line. I think that's just an aspect of being a kiddo sometimes. Yeah. that somewhat rebellious attitude of how much can I get away with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of it, you know, the reason I asked is that a lot of, you know, a lot of it's easy to instill religious principles, I think, into things without being, you know, over the top about it. You know, cultish, if you will, almost about it, because
yeah,
most religious principles are just about being good people, right? And certainly that there's with our community, I would say, the Second Amendment community, the shooting sports community, we see this overwhelmingly with, especially with the kiddos I bring on and I have lately and we've talked to, that, you know, the vast majority of people involved, they talk about the competitions they go to. They talk about the clubs that they shoot with. And then all the people within those are just amazing people, right?
Yeah, that's something I'll say. Like the campers and parents that come out here, they're amazing people. Because one, they're part of that gun community. So, yeah, you're right. They're people of character. And then they're the ones that are also investing in their kids. So they're good parents too, because they want to spend the time with them. They want to give. They want to invest in them. And so it's been awesome. We got a great crowd and almost like an alumni thing. And we have people that come back almost every year. It's fun.
Right. Give us a little bit of a backstory, if you will, on these marksmanship camps. Where did they start out, and then what types of things have you added over the years?
Well, it really kind of started, well, because of Top Shot. And like I said, I didn't expect to win the thing. And then when that came about, we've had a waiting list to get in for summer camp for years. Cause I mean, we charge peanuts to get to come to camp because, like I said, we're nonprofit. We have volunteers that run it. So it's only like $160 to come for the whole week of camp in the summer, not whole week. It's 5-day session. And so the marksman camp came about cause of like, oh man, you know, 3 million people are going to see this show and now they're going to want to come to camp. It's like, what are we going to do? And right. So I was like, you know what, let's make a camp for them. And that's how Marksman Camp started. And really, all the things we do are just things that I wanted to do. It's like, I wanted to go down the zip line shooting a gun. So there we go. That's our night activity. We do it safely with a paintball gun. You know, we have it harnessed in and locked in, so you only shoot at one angle. We got a light and laser on it. We got the targets on one side, and it's a blast. You know, I wanted to shoot from the back of my Humvee. So, well, that's we did it again. This time it was also paintball, just because it's safe. Because you're gonna have to have some heck of some property and controls if you're doing it with live fire.
Sure, yeah.
but so again, that's what we do. Yeah, you know, I wanted some targets that dropped, like you had to cut a rope, you know, with the tomahawks and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we built that, and that's what the kids play on. And so it's just me having fun through these kids.
Right. Now, what's the weirdest, I guess, as far as a, you know, weapon that I stay away from the W word as much as possible, but we kind of have to talk about that in a way, because whether you're talking of a spear or an atlatl or whatever, technically that's a weapon, right? Or it can be used as such. Historically, it's known as such. But what's the weirdest thing that you guys do in the camp, that would you say?
I got two things that always people are like, we do what? Throwing shovels. And so that's the thing. It's actually the Cold Steel Special Forces throwing shovels. It goes, you know, back to Spetsnaz and trench warfare and all that. And so I said we cut ropes with the tomahawk. I said that just to avoid confusion. We actually do it with the shovels because they're sharper. And so those are ones that honestly, I like tomahawks better. They release easier and I'm more accurate with them. But shovels are more forgiving because they have more of an edge, and you can so it's more forgiving on distance. And mm-hmm. so that's a weird one. And then the can cannon. I'm sure you've heard of the X Products can cannon. That's another unique one that also is a big favorite.
Awesome. So yeah, let's jump. Let's let Mike and Ghost jump in here a minute. See if they've got anything they want to bring up or ask. Mike, I'll start with you. If you got any questions or want to jump down any rabbit holes.
All right. Nice to meet you, Dustin. but I do have a couple questions, since you said everybody at the camp is a volunteer, including yourself. But do you still hold all the job titles at the camp that you said in one of your videos, like the electrician, the lumberjack?
The interview thing?
Yeah.
See, Top Shot gives you several, they lay out how they want your interview to go or how they wanted that video. So I followed it and it worked, but pretty much, I mean, today, what was I doing? I was fixing a mower. We're zeroing the rifles. I'm the go-to fix it guy. I'm booking camps kind of, you know, as we speak, putting them on the calendar, the emails that are coming in. So yeah, I stay pretty busy.
All right. So now I want to dive into a little bit of your personal life now. So from what I understand, you do have 5 children, and are there any plans to having more, and how does that encompass with the camp life?
Man, we got our hands full right now. So it's kind of just whatever God wants, because we started our family weirdly, differently, because we started with foster care. Me and Brittany, I wanted to be married for a little while, have some time to ourselves. And then we're like, okay, well, let's start having kids. And at that same time, God planted someone in our lives that, you know, told us about foster care and had this little kid that needed a forever home. I'm like, wait a minute, why are we, you know, all wanting to jump on board on having our own kid when there's kids that already need a home out there? And so we jumped into foster care. And Cody, he's the one that I just got in the office from shooting squirrels with outside. He's 12 now, and he came to us when he was 2. And then we fostered 10 other kids, and some of our families even adopted, like some of the foster kids that we had. So that was awesome. And so we have 2 adopted and 3 biological, or homegrown, however you say. And my little kids are all just overflowing with love too. And they're wanting to start foster up again, and they want a little baby to take care of and stuff. I'm sure we'll be opening our home again in the future.
I got you. All right. So now, this will be my last question before I pass it off to Ghost. But has any other camps close to you, statewide, reached out to you to come to them to help them out with some form of support to bring more children to their camps?
Not in that way. When you say camps reach out to us, though, I've had a few call me to help start up their kind of their tomahawk throwing program and stuff like that. So that's kind of funny.
Right.
All right. Ghost, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, when I grew up in Dallas, and I went for several summers to a camp called Sky Ranch. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It sounds like to me that Camp His Way is similar to Sky Ranch with the outdoor activities and all that. That being said, I like the fact that it's more Christian-based and all that. Do you find people that come to the camp as a summer camp more or to find their faith?
Well, the our campers come with church groups. And so with my mom's background as a children's pastor when she started the camp, I don't even know how we marketed and stuff in the first place. I was still like 14 when we started. I guess a lot of it really is just word of mouth. And I found your webpage or something, you know. And so being that, 90 to 95% of the campers that come with a church group, it is spiritually oriented and they're wanting that. We have a huge church that comes they fill the whole camp every year from McKinney. And, he was just sharing with us, he sees us as partners of a vital part of their kids' ministry where they can get them away from their town and their, just everyday life and where they draw closer to God. And so we have that. And then we have, the other aspect of like, man, this place looks fun. And, they come to play, but then they find God too.
That's great. Now going to the marksman camp, I'm assuming that winning Top Shot has helped you maybe get some different types of firearms or whatever that kids may not have ever had access to. How much of your sponsors or being a Top Shot winner has helped develop and make the marksman camp that much bigger and better?
No, man, Top Shot made it possible because I had a friend of mine that he was a big part in being instrumental in getting a start in the first place. And he had several friends that were shooting buddies and all that. And he's like, hey man, just tell me what you need to get started. And he went around and got the donations to buy a dozen Savage rifles for us. And so that got us started. And then, I bought a few things myself, and then, Volkortsen stepped up and Henry Rifles as well. Trying to think, make sure I don't leave anyone out. And Bowers gave us several suppressors. And so the kids get to shoot these, super top-notch, top-of-the-line rifles. And everything we do is suppressed. Most everyone that comes out hasn't shot suppressed. And everything we do is quiet, which is awesome for two reasons. It makes the kids into better marksmen because they don't have the psychological effect. And then they hear instructions better. But then also it makes it more of a social event because you're not yelling over ear pro and whatnot. Everybody, it's more like golf because everybody is so quiet shooting. A lot of the parents are always like whispering and stuff because, it's just so you don't distract and whatnot. But yeah, we've been blessed from that. And just, I guess, having the connections in the industry. And like the Detroit Ammo gives us big discounts on like our 50 BMG ammo because, I don't think most 9-year-olds want to shoot a big 50 BMG, but Detroit makes these subsonic rounds that makes it a lot tame and we're safe for, our range. And so, all the kids get to experience that. And that's a highlight of their trip as well.
I wasn't aware of that. So we may have to talk after chat.
And Innovative Arms just said they would send me a 50 BMG suppressor. So now that will be suppressed as well. It's going to be awesome.
Phil with Innovative is awesome, by the way.
Cool.
Ghost, I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead. You got something else?
Oh, it's good. I had one more. I kind of get the big breakdown, not necessarily for ages and all of that, but experience levels that come to the marksman camp. Are they mostly experienced shooters, or are some of them brand new? They just come because they're going to work with you? Or, I mean, how does that break down?
I don't know how it breaks down number wise, but we have them all across the board. I just tell the parents ahead of time, it's like, look, your kid's got to be safe. Now we work with them, you know, and we've had tons of newbies just from scratch, and we've got a great staff that, you know, our volunteers that know what to watch for. And then we're always running, when we run like our semi-automatics and stuff, we take a page out and we do it like a relay style. So there's only two shooters on a line at a time, but then, you know, the rest of their team will have a mag in hand ready to come up and do their practice rounds or their competition. And so we'll have, you know, newbies all the way up to some of our team camps. We've had sponsored three gun shooters that, you know, they're used to doing the big stuff, but they wanted to experience here. So we have several that I know even shoot with a, you know, Chris 4-H area around there that come that are in the competition sports. But then, you know, what we do here is a bit different than your, you know, normal 4-H paper shooting or whatever, because everything we do is reactive and you know, just kind of high action.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's kind of like talking about the enticement of getting kids all the fun activities to get kids to come to camp. And then you can teach them about Jesus or whatever it might be. It's the same way that we take this next generation. And that's what that's kind of how shooting sports works. Shooting sports is one of those things where, you know, you get the kids involved, you make it fun. Some of them are going to go the competitive route because they really enjoy that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, hopefully you're still teaching those values of responsibility and competence and all these other things. And you're growing good young people, first of all, that will hopefully grow up and then help protect that Second Amendment right you have. So, but you know, in order to keep them interested, you got to make it fun. To that, we've got a few questions that's coming from the chat out there. First, we got a comment. We got Honor Defense. I'm sure you're familiar with them. Probably Mr. Gary. I don't know for sure, but he says you're a good man, Dustin. Thanks for all you do. So.
Thanks
from him. But a couple of questions. G Webs out there was asking, is there a favorite target? What's the favorite target or activity that the kiddos, is there one that stands out that they're just chomping at the bit to do every time, or does that vary depending on who's there?
Man, we have so many cool targets. Everything we shoot is steel. Steel golf balls, or we experimented today with dum-dums, you know, little suckers.
Oh,
dude. So what I used to do is glue paint balls onto the golf tee, but that was labor intensive. The dum-dums you can just throw out there. And so we're doing that. We're shooting them at the Bokortsman from 50 yards, and then we can smell them. It was cool. But, challenge target has a bullseye, and so that bullseye target, so that's kind of legendary out here, where you have to send a bullet through a like a sub 1-inch hole, and it activates a paddle and it goes to the other side. So that's a favorite because it's kind of a real bragging rights that you could, you know, send a bullet through the 1-inch hole and hit the bullseye target. One of my favorites to use, and I made a YouTube video on it just because I like it so much as an instructor, is those, you know, you'll see them, the spinner targets that you have in three gun and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for the kids, we use it mostly for the team camp, and it teaches you, and it really taxes your ability to, one, maybe if you can control recoil, we just shoot 22s mostly, so it's not that much, but there's, you still got to do something for follow-up shots, and then timing and decision making and transitions. It taxes all of those. You know, you get too much in a hurry and you're trying to do those spinner targets, the vertical spinners, and you're just going to jerk the trigger and miss, or you mistime it, or you took too long to make a decision and now your window of opportunity is closed. I love that one for teaching.
Right. Now, Honor Defense out there has a question. He says, do you guys use any frangible bullets?
We don't, because we don't get that close to steel. We stay at 25 yards and back.
Okay.
Maybe gotcha. 15.
Right.
For some challenges, but for the most part, yeah, we're on the 25 yard line.
Right. And unknown user out there, you were talking about the you know, throwing the shovels earlier. Do you have a video? Do you have anything on your channel or on social media with throwing those shovels?
I know I have some tomahawk throwing ones. I don't know if I brought up the shovels, okay. But maybe I need to do that.
Yeah, go check out the channel, Gabe. And you're on. Go ahead and throw that out there as far as be a good time, I guess. What sure. social are you on? And then what socials are available for the camp as well?
I do a lot on Facebook and Instagram. And so just Top Shot Dustin will bring that up. I had to go to topshotdustin.com right now and see if everything's linked there. And I think it is. I think, yeah, there's YouTube and all that. And then that Top Shot Dustin will also just redirect you to the Marksman Camp. So you can check stuff out there. On YouTube, yeah, you just put Dustin Ellerman and you'll find it.
Right. I'm going to share the link for the Marksman Camp.
I'm pretty sure in our cover video at the Marksman Camp Facebook page, it's mm-hmm. got a little bit, a second or two or some shovel throwing. Okay. There'll be something in those videos because when they cut the targets down, it's too cool not to share.
Yeah. Yeah, your social is really cool. If you want to see a variety of things going on, for sure. You know, just all kinds of targets and all kinds of things being used. It's a really diverse, your social media, I should say, is really diverse for that. Now G-Webs has one here. You were talking about some of the firearms that, that you use. I would venture a guess that you're not going to turn around anything that any business probably is willing to throw your way for the camp. But, When you have to choose certain firearms or you have that opportunity, is there a certain criteria? Is anything you're thinking about when you're choosing firearms for the kiddos to use?
It's got to be reliable because in our, you know, when we're doing this kind of competition and running stuff as quick as we can, that's a big thing. Of course, safety. And I mean, I like unique. I like to, that's what I do at SHOT Show is I want to find new targets that look cool and that are reactive and will be fun. And then just any type of new 22 that's out there and will give the kids a neat experience or just look cool to them at times.
And then, got one here. This is going to be a personal one from out there, I guess, but, it's not a hard one, I think.
Oh, my battery's dying.
Oh, is it?
No, I'm playing. That's my cop out.
don't scare us like that. We're 2/3 of the way done here. Don't do that. Anyway, it's an easy one. He says, it's that guy's wife, which is actually my wife. It's that guy's wife, 94, which is my wife, if you don't know. But she says, do all of your kids enjoy the shooting and hunting? You got some small ones and some older ones, and not all kids are going to be into that or whatever, of course, but how are your kids? Are they, it's just kind of part of everyday life and they are all a part of it, or there's some that shy away, or
sometimes my shooting turns into work. Sometimes I'm like, man, I got to go, you know, do a write up on this gun. So range time is also work time. So sometimes I don't take them out as much as I could. My 6-year-old daughter is ready. And so we'll be taking her to the range soon for the first time. My 9-year-old son, he's kind of touch and go on, you know, if he wants to do that or something else. My 12-year-old loves every bit of it. And he's like my backup if we have someone drop out at Marksman Camp and we need to fill a team spot. But then on the second hand is like, that's not fair because he's too good. And then my oldest daughter, I mean, she likes it and loves deer hunting and everything else too. So right. It is second nature, and you know, gun safety and stuff is big. And I remember, you know, having my wife had a friend over or something, and I'm just walking through the living room with an AR. I don't know what I was doing, going to the range, or maybe it was coyote hunting. I don't know. And you know, my wife's friend's eyes just get big, and you know, all my little bitty kids at that time were like, "Bye, daddy, have fun." You know, it just it's
normal.
Yeah, it was normal. It was all right.
Yeah. So as far as with your own kiddos there, or especially with having the foster kids like you're talking about, I mean, obviously safety is number one. Is there a certain age, or is it, or that, you know, you introduce them to it and safety aspects and stuff like that? Do you have a hands-off approach, or do you have kind of an open approach where, you know, hey, these are available and we can look at them and, you know, go shoot or whatever. Just, you know, just let me know when you want to do it. How did you approach the aspect of introducing them, particularly the foster children you're talking about?
Well, when you do foster kids, and we haven't done that in years, but you have to get permission from the state and everything as well before you do that.
Oh, okay.
But you can bring a foster kid hunting if, like, you know, like a judge has to approve. Okay, a caseworker and judges have to approve and stuff. So, right. So you can go that route, but you just got to go the right channels. When you are a foster, everything's got to be locked up. Like, ammo's locked up separately than the guns and all that. So gun safes, of course, are big. So you got to keep everything secure no matter what. And right. And I do. You know, when I was young and single, you know, you got a gun hidden where you can get it if you need to. It's Yeah. Everything's locked and secured. She's four now. It changes every year. She was, right. I was prepping marksman camp guns. I was cleaning some savages. And she comes in. And she's like, "So, Daddy, can I touch it?" And so they've learned, you know, you just stop, don't touch. But it's like, yeah, let me pull the bolt out real quick and you can touch it. And then she's just petting the barrel, you know, because we don't get to touch unless Daddy says so. But, you know, when we ask and it's okay, yeah, we satisfy the curiosity.
Right. Yeah. And it sounds like a lot of people, you know, that whole concept, I think, is foreign, especially for those that didn't grow up around it. You know, it's one of them things that can get foreign to people, and they don't understand, you know, introducing it to kids. You know, with me, I grew up around it. It's kind of like you, a second nature.
Yep.
It was just a part of it. It was always there. I don't even remember ever having safety lessons or
anything. It's just like ingrained. That.
It's just, and I'm sure there was, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure there was some structure to it. I just don't remember because it was such an everyday part of life. And with my kids, that of course was kind of the approach with them too. It was just always around. It was always there. There really wasn't any reason to be curious about it because of that. So, for, you know, a lot of people out there, that's a big question I get is, you know, what age do you introduce kids to, you know, firearms? And I'm like, as early as possible.
Yeah.
take them to the range. If they're old enough to hang targets or reset, you know, flip up, you know, steel plates or whatever to help you reset the range, put them some high and ear pro on and take them out to the range with you, even though they aren't old enough to even shoot necessarily, you know. Get them familiar with it and expose them to it, right?
I remember the first time I brought my younger son, he was probably five, to the range. He had fun shooting, but he just didn't take a big interest in it. He liked running the bolt for me on the Savage Rascal. So he wanted me to shoot. He just liked running the bolt and loading it. So, okay, whatever. And then he liked playing with the roly-polies under the trash can more. So,
right.
You know, you introduce them when you can, but you don't force them. But then you make it natural, and then you satisfy curiosity. And then every kid's different, too. Because, you know, like my 12-year-old shot a pistol for the first time this spring. But some people are doing it, you know, even younger than that. But you just do every what you're comfortable with that kid.
Right. Yeah. And I think they have to be ready. And I think if you're an attentive parent, I think you can tell, you know, you can tell when that time comes. Mm-hmm. Now, my wife out there, she's asking too, she says, how's the pig?
Nosler, she's great. She, it's funny cause I'll go to the range and shoot and, she comes running out of the woods because she knows I'm there. And so she's all good. She loves her pen. I have her in. It's just home. It takes me forever to coax her out at times. When I'm at the range, I'll let her just run around. But before I know it, she pushes her way back through that gate. She loves home. But I don't want anybody to shoot her, so I like keeping her in the pen.
Keeping her around these parts with all the, you know, if somebody's dogs, you know, they've turned loose or something like that. I mean, how long have you had her?
I don't know. Almost 3 years, maybe.
Yeah. And it's been a while.
She's a good sized pig.
Yeah, she got big quick, definitely. So yeah, let's turn it over. Ghost, do you have anything you want to bring up?
Patriot in the Dark out there wanted to know if you've had any visually impaired shooters come through the camp.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, not that I can remember.
Would you make some type of accommodations if that was a want of somebody wanting to attend?
Well, seeing is a big part of shooting, so I'd have to figure out how to do that safely. But it may be something we want to do more like a private lesson and stuff first.
Right. It would. Yeah. I would.
And make sure they'll enjoy the weekend and that we can and that I can work with them then. And then it sounds. I mean, I'm happy to help if I can in some way. I just don't have any. I have no experience yet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you would be surprised. Patriot, if you're out there and don't know, I mean, is visually impaired, legally blind. And, it's opened a lot of people's eyes, those that know him, to the actual community out there, the people that do go to the range and enjoy firearms and they're legally blind. So, I can understand if you're dealing with a kid and particularly for the first time, one that's not exposed, and That could be a little bit of a sticky situation. I think you have to be careful with. Was that all you had, Ghost?
Yeah, that's all I have for right now.
Okay, Mike, you got anything?
Yes. When it comes to the summer camp, how do y'all deal with children who have challenges? Whether like if they walk on crutches or in a wheelchair, do y'all still allow them to partake?
I'm not sure if we've had. I remember some crutches out here. We have a real rough terrain. It's like we've broken golf carts in half, and so the terrains wouldn't work good with wheelchairs. But I mean, we do what we can. We just haven't had too much of that in the past.
Okay. All right. So now, what's one experience that you had as a director or counselor that stands out the most to you?
Man, I'm not sure. I have a really bad memory. So I need a prompt or a heads up. I'll start thinking about it for you.
All right.
I've got another one from the chat.
Yeah, go ahead.
Honor Defense wants to know, what are some of the biggest challenges your camp faces and how can the industry help?
Biggest challenges. You know, we talked about how we do have a volunteer staff. And I tell you what, the biggest challenge, and it's for all camps. And, you bring it up at a camp conference, it's like, yeah, there's no good men. You know, we need guys that'll come and be a counselor for a week. We need, guys that can do guy-type jobs, like lifting canoes over their head and putting them on trailers. And it's the whole industry. It's just you have about 85% women that help and 15% guys. And so we need guys that can step up and help lead these kids.
Send me an email. I'll come down and help you 1 week.
All right.
Fix so, the right. Yeah, I need to get down there and, especially I've got more free time now than I used to. So, yeah, I need to get down there one day and or one weekend or one something. So we may talk about that. Now we got some food chat going on here. So we're gonna talk food just a minute. I had a question on deck here that I wanted to ask because you were talking about, all the different hats you wear and you're more so volunteer family oriented. When you've got however many kids, 120, 160, whatever it was you said, the job of cooking and feeding.
Yeah, that's not mine.
How is that facilitated?
We have a resident cook here, who just, lives in one of these cottages and has been here for a little over 10 years. She started when she was 18 as a volunteer coming out. And ended up working in the kitchen with the current cook and then took over from there. And so we got the food covered and we try to have really good camp food. For camp food, we try to say it's going to be some of the best. So she's real experienced at that and just she takes care of it.
So is it more a home cooking style approach?
It is. It is more home cooking style.
Awesome.
And all you can eat and seconds and everything else.
Oh, wow. Well, that that could be dangerous with a bunch of hungry kiddos. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's like all your profit goes to food there. So
food and insurance. That's it.
Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing left hardly to keep the lights on or anything else. What's the favorite mealtime? Is there any one that the kids seem to enjoy and eat the most of out of the meals that you guys?
I don't know about mealtime, but I know. I mean, the best food is probably going to be in the dinner time. But one meal that will serve every camp session, even if it's a day camp, they're coming in for one lunch. It'll be nachos. We got like a nacho supreme with all the fixings.
There you go.
You know, everything you can pile on it. You know, I'll come to the table with my plate, and the kids are like, "Good grief, you're going to eat all that?" Heck yeah!
Right.
Yeah.
We're from Texas. We got to have our nachos and stuff like that for sure. And nachos cover all the basic food groups.
That's everything.
So yeah, you're good to go. Let's see, what else do we have? We had another one out there. Dang it, I lost it. Give me just a minute. Oh, we started this out, and we did not talk about where you guys are located.
That's important, I guess, huh?
Yes.
So we are deep East Texas, of course. So we are on the Jasper side of Zavala on the shore of Lake Sam Rayburn. If you're familiar with Rayburn, we're on the Caney Creek side of the Black Forest subdivision lake community back there. And so if you're a bigger picture, what are we, like right between Beaumont and Tyler type?
Yeah, more
area. Yeah. A little bit towards Louisiana.
Yeah. Kind of on that south, I guess, southwest corner of Rayburn.
I guess we're about, it's right between Dallas and Houston, but just an hour from Louisiana.
Right. Yeah. Definitely in the boondocks for sure. And that sparks a question that I had with being right there on the lake like that with the hurricanes and stuff that's come in and all the flooding and other stuff. Have y'all had issues? Do you face issues with that, with, you know, massive rains and hurricanes and stuff causing problems?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, the lake is really the high ground because, you know, it's a reservoir. And so it's the high ground for everything down below. And so, you know, the core restricts where you can build anyway, because it'll only go up so much on the property. And so now it's never been a problem. The hurricanes, I mean, we get some wind because we don't have a wind block of the lake. But, you know, last year we got 20 something inches, you know, in a day or two when that came through. I mean, it all just flows downhill to Beaumont. So it's no big deal.
Okay. Okay, I know that was just always curiosity if you're around a body of water or something like that of mine and you start getting a bunch of rain.
We got 20-something inches, you know, in a day or two when that came through. I mean, it all just flows downhill to Beaumont, so it's no big deal.
Okay, I know that was just always curiosity if you're around a body of water or something like that of mine and you start getting a bunch of rain.
No, it'll go over the dam before any of our buildings end up in the water.
Right.
Or the spillway, yeah.
Now, let's go into, since we covered the location and all, let's go into, you were talking about the marksmanship camps, the summer camps. You pretty much have something going almost year round. What different types of things have you guys got going on?
Well, program-wise, that about covers it, because summer's, you know, fifth of the year, and that's 11 weeks there. Marksman Camp's our own program. For the other weekends, we're open as a retreat facility. So, you know, we have Marksman Camps in October, and then early November, like, we have Sigma Phi and Lambda, the SFA sorority Christian group. They come out here every year, and they'll do their retreat. And then we have a lot of youth groups that come out. And so when we have those retreats, it's a minimum of 30 people, and we will do your meals and help you with some camp activity. So you want to do the challenge course or shoot archery and blowguns at some times. We'll help schedule that in. And then you do your own programming, you know, do your services, devotions, little team games, activities like that. And we just make a fun weekend out of it.
Now the retreats, are those, you know, there's a group or an organization or whatever wanting to do a retreat. Is that open? Does that have to be church based, or is it open to other organizations as well? I guess upon approval, of course. Or how does that work?
Yeah, I guess we just haven't marketed it in a different way, but there wouldn't be any any reason why we couldn't do. I mean, well, that's what the sorority group is, I guess. You know, right. That's not like.
Well, you probably wouldn't want something extremely contradictory to Christian values.
Well, sure, align with our mission statement or whatnot.
A group that shows up for the retreat and dances around a campfire and sacrifices a goat might not be a great thing to have going on your camp there.
Sacrifice is not good. I mean, eating a goat, that's good.
Well, that's true.
We can plan a barbecue.
I guess in a way, you would have to kind of do that in order to get him all dressed out and get him in the ground cooking. But so I guess it's all perspective now that I think about it.
I got a question if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you ever thought about, and this is something maybe to help fund all of the other projects and all of that, but have you ever thought about doing a Top Shot style kind of a camp or a retreat for adults, men or women, to come out and run through a bunch of different stuff, but that could also, help bring money in to help fund the other projects? Have y'all ever thought about doing something like that?
Well, we've done a marksmanship just a marksman camp, which is a Top Shot style thing. We did one.
Yeah, that's more for more adults, though, instead of the youth.
Well, we're limited on what we can do, caliber-wise. That's why we like to keep with rimfire. And so we just let the adults go through the same thing the kids do. The problem was my first camp, I had four of them cancel, which is, a quarter when you only do 12 participants that week. The week of the camp, I'm like, no, we're done with this. Kids don't cancel. Their parents won't cancel for the kids. So that first camp ruined it for the rest of everyone else. But we have done private ones. So if you want to do the marksmanship camp program, just adapted for adults, we're going to make you stand unsupported for these challenges and in that type of thing, we can adapt it just like the teen camp program. If you want to put together 12 participants, by golly, we'll pick a date and we'll have some fun.
I hear that would be really, really fun.
I'm serious. A gun channels challenge. A gun channels retreat would be fantastic.
Yeah. There's several out there in the chat that's already screaming it. We got the gun, a gun channels count. Yep. There we go. That's definitely an idea. Mike,
his insurance probably wouldn't cover Night Strike.
We could with a pop gun or something like that, like a cork gun. It might probably be okay. We could let him run the course with a cork gun. He'd be all good. Mike, have you got anything else for Dustin before we get out of here?
Other than I'm willing to come out to the camp to help out and just hang out with the kids and all, but I just need a room to stay at and bullets to shoot.
All right, we'll have a room. It'll just have 12 other boys that need some supervision. Is that a deal breaker?
that's awful high rent on a room. Is all I gotta say.
I was a former drill sergeant, so that won't be too tough.
Yeah. Oh, nice. There you go.
So, with that, let's get things closed out here. I'm gonna drop the link to the marksmanship camp one more time out there, because I think that will probably get you to every place you need to go to find the information. If you want more on Camp His Way and marksmanship camp and everything Dustin's got going on down there. I want to drop the link here for clovertac.com. Mentioned a couple of things. Mentioned that there is a 10% off special swag store. That's promo code Tulsa. So that's going on up until we leave for Tulsa next month. So jump over there and save a little bit on any of the swag that you might be looking at. Also, that gets you to the other social media platforms, podcast platforms, video platforms, all of that good stuff as well. In case you come in late, you want to catch it on replay, and you don't particularly want to watch it here on YouTube. With that, let's run it through Mike and Ghost for plugs and anything else they've got that they need to put out there. Mike, what you got?
The only thing I'll say is I keep it short tonight. Go check out the Black Man with the Gun podcast. Visit my website, m-wtactical.com. Give me a phone call at 803-250-1256. Leave a voicemail or a text message or email me at info@m-wtactical.com. We can talk about shooting, product review, or just whatever is on your mind. Check out my video on YouTube under M-W Tactical. We put out every Tuesday as far as product reviews or whatever we're going to talk about. Follow me on Instagram and Facebook under M-W Tactical. And please go to the GoFundMe campaign that I started under GoFundMe.com/M-W Tactical and help us reach our goal.
And thanks for jumping in, helping out, Mike. Appreciate it.
Anytime, anytime.
Ghost, what you got going on?
Don't have a whole lot. Just you guys want to feel a little dumber about yourselves, then go check out my website, www.ghosttacticalproductions.com. All my social media links be there from YouTube. And check out the new podcast, the Armed Citizen Podcast. Got a couple really cool guests. We've got some more coming in. And more importantly, and most importantly, try to get to the range this weekend and be more proficient with your firearm. Take someone with you that might be a beginner. Introduce them to the safety and the fun side of firearms, and maybe we can change some minds. And thanks for having me.
Ben, absolutely. Tufson, appreciate you dropping in, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having
me. Great conversation, and I thought we might actually have an opportunity to get to some of the top shot stuff, but we pretty much just talked about the camps and the kids, which is awesome. That's the point of this show, and I'm glad it went that way. But you're welcome back. You're welcome back. You're welcome back anytime.
Could be another show for Top Shot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's you're welcome back anytime. But anything you want to throw out there before we get out of here?
No, I think we're good. Well, if they do want to come to Marksman Camp, they fill up quickly. So go to marksmancamp.com, sign up for the emails, because like some seasons fill within 48 hours of sending out that email announcement. So space is limited. Get in quick.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, there you have it. And I've dropped that link out there in the chat a couple of times. So just scroll up and you should be able to get to it. With that, I think we're going to start to get out of here now. Just a couple of reminders that I have. The big one, of course, is Friday for the Firearm Friday show. We've got Cody from Walther that's going to be in the house. That'll be pretty awesome. And nice. Then tomorrow I will be jumping in with Hank Strange and them over on his channel and kind of hanging out. So join us over on that channel tomorrow if you want to. With that, we are out. Everybody have a good evening, and we'll catch you later. Bye.